You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So I say D, I say D-O, D-O-D, D-O-D-G, D-O-D-G-E-R-S, team, 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 all.
Yo, 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 Dodger fans, welcome to Locked On Dodgers. We are part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one local sports daily podcast network. Locked On, your team every day. Today's episode is brought to you by Locker Room. Download the app and join us on Thursday evening to get in on the action. Locker Room, changing the way we talk sports. This is a daily podcast covering the World Series champion Los Angeles Dodgers, bringing you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue. I'm Vince Samperio of Chavez Ravine Fiends, here with Jeff Snyder of Baseball Essential. Jeff, the Dodgers won again for the sixth time in the last seven games. And despite being a low-scoring game, it still wasn't that fast of a game. But either way, Dodgers won, so I don't care how long it took.
Yep, long games are okay as long as the Dodgers end up on top. It's those long losses that drive you crazy. But yeah, they did what they needed to do to get the job done.
Exactly. So today we're going to talk about the pitching staff, Tony Gonsolin in the bullpen. We'll talk about Chris Taylor and his rising candidacy for an all-star spot. And we'll talk a little bit about some other things related to the Dodgers. But before all that, a quick reminder to subscribe or follow wherever you get your podcasts. When you get in your car or if you're at home, tell your smart device to play podcasts Locked On Dodgers. All right, Jeff. So Tony Gonsolin got the start. Was better than his previous start. Still wasn't that great. But after the first inning, he was pretty solid. Ended up coming out in the fourth inning. Dodgers ended up using seven pitchers total, including him. But kind of how we said last time, where the stuff was there, he had a couple good strikeouts, a couple good swings and misses, just was lacking a little bit of command. And I know you noticed the command or what he was struggling with this time.
Yeah, it was interesting because his first start of the season, it was the fastball that he didn't seem to be able to command. His changeup was okay, his slider was okay, but the fastball, he couldn't command that, which made it hard to build off of that, which he needs to do. Today it was more the fastball was the one pitch that he had the best command of. But even that first inning where he gave up the run and stranded the bases loaded, that was, you know, really, really close to being a solid inning because Odubel Herrera leading off the game on a full count pitch, he looked at a pitch that probably clipped the strike zone. He got the ball four call. Very easily could have been a strike three call. Next batter, Gene Segura, hits the line drive down the line that Zach McKinstry comes within a couple inches of catching. You know, Mookie Betts probably catches that ball. And maybe that's something we want to talk about later in this episode about the defensive alignment. When you've got Mookie, Taylor, and McKinstry, is what they're doing the ideal alignment? Or would you put McKinstry at second, Mookie where he's comfortable and right, and Taylor in center, you know? Because I think if it's that alignment, that ball is probably caught by Mookie. And you know, so that easily could have been a 1-2-3 inning for Gonsolin instead of being, you know, looking like more of the same. Obviously, if wishes were fishes, we'd all have a fry, as my mom used to say. You know, what happens matters. But yeah, you know, he definitely looked a lot better. Even though superficially some of the results were the same, I felt like he looked a lot better in this game. And it, you know, gave me even more hope. I felt hopeful after the last start that he would get the command and everything would be okay. I'm even more hopeful now that he's going to be back to the pretty darn good pitcher we saw in the regular season last year.
I thought the same thing on the defensive side with McKinstry out there. Just watching McKinstry out there the last couple of days, it definitely would benefit probably him to play infield and get Taylor in the outfield. But well, yeah, we can talk about that a little bit when we talk about Chris Taylor later. In terms of the rest of the pitching staff, you know, nobody else allowed to run the rest of the way. David Price, Joe Kelly, Victor Gonzalez, and Jimmy Nelson, and Blake Treinen, and Kenley Jansen. And we talked about Treinen and Jansen a little bit yesterday, but once again, they come in and do their job. And Jansen coming off pitching yesterday and then coming back today and looking really good. That's the first time we've seen him look exceptionally sharp on back-to-back days. He looked pretty good the last time on back-to-back, but he only threw a couple pitches in the previous game before his last back-to-back. So encouraging signs all around. Actually, Joe Kelly, too, looked really good. We had talked about him and how he hadn't quite made it back, even though he was healthy. He looked a lot better. Different in yesterday's appearance. Yeah, last night's appearance.
Yeah, and you know, Jimmy Nelson was one that really jumped out at me, besides Kenley. You know, Kenley obviously was impressive, that weak contact. Those first two hitters both hit the ball about 60 miles an hour. So, yeah, Justin Turner made a great play on that hit by Jankowski, but that great play was made possible by the weak contact that Kenley induced. Then he gets a strikeout. But Jimmy Nelson, like, when he can command that fastball, he throws 95, 96 miles an hour, and he's got that curveball that breaks almost as much, maybe not quite almost as much as Kershaw's, but Kershaw's usually breaks about 64 inches and vertically, and Nelson's is like 53, 54. But it's also 12 miles an hour faster than Kershaw's. Jimmy Nelson's curveball is coming in at 86 miles an hour and breaking 4.5 feet. And so when he can command that and then command the 96 mile an hour fastball, like, that's the definition of unhittable, pretty much. Just he can just be so dominant when he has the command. And then, you know, you mentioned Joe Kelly too, kind of the same boat. He's got that big breaking curveball. He's got the really hard fastball. You know, it all comes down to command with all of these guys, and which is awesome. It's also a little bit scary because it means we're probably in for a lot of stressful nights in the next 4 months, wondering, okay, which version of this guy are we getting tonight? And, you know, the more often we get the good version of Kenley and the good version of Nelson and the good version of Kelly, maybe we'll start to get more comfortable. But, you know, hopefully that command is something they can all kind of lock in as the season goes on.
Yeah, and just touching on the command and what can bring command, what can help command, is sticky substances, foreign substances, however you like to call it. Apparently there's a memo coming out that will address some of the things that we've talked about that could be concerning punishment and how they go about figuring out who's using it or how they check or whatever else it is. We'll talk about that once it gets here. But just know that there's going to be a lot of more sticky substance talk in the next couple of days, probably.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. We'll cut it right here. We'll come back and we'll talk a little bit about Chris Taylor. So make sure to keep it locked on Dodgers. This episode is brought to you by Locker Room. Locker Room is the first social audio platform made for sports fans. The app is free to download, and once you're in, you can talk with us, other fans, athletes, and insiders in real time about your favorite team or sport. We'll be hosting our Locker Room chat this Thursday evening as the Dodgers have an off day, so make sure to download the app and come join in on the conversation that you listen to here every day. Locker Room is a perfect place to start or join conversations about MLB, the Dodgers, or wherever else you want to talk about. You'll find fans just like you on Locker Room for watch parties, debates, post-game breakdowns, and of course reacting to big news or rumors. Remember, make sure to join us this Thursday evening as we talk about the Dodgers. Go download the free Locker Room app now, currently available on all iOS devices. We can't wait to hear your thoughts on the Dodgers and see you in our Locker Room chat. Locker Room, changing the way we talk sports. Day trading can be a lot of fun, but it's more than just stonks, memes, and rocket ships. If you want to grow your long-term wealth and make it to the moon, you should open up a Wealthfront investment account today. Decades of data show that only 1% of day traders beat the market, so the odds aren't in your favor, so why don't you team up with Wealthfront instead? Investing can be complicated, but Wealthfront makes it easy. They have the right tools for every portfolio. There's no manual trades, no picking stocks, no watching the stock market every day. They automatically handle all the investing based on preferences you control. Wealthfront can even help you lower the taxes you pay as you invest. Wealthfront has been trusted with over $20 billion of assets, and you can get your first $5,000 managed for free by going to wealthfront.com/lockedonMLB. To get your first $5,000 managed for free for life, go to wealthfront.com/lockedonMLB. That's WEALTHFRONT.com/lockedonMLB to start growing your savings. Go to wealthfront.com/lockedonMLB and get started today. All right, Jeff, we are back, and we're here to talk about Chris Taylor, but first we'll get into why we're going to talk about Chris Taylor, and that's because we believe that he is deserving of an all-star bid, and the MLB all-star ballots came out on Monday, and so far the only Dodgers that would be a starter as of now would be Max Muncy at first base, and he's currently injured, so that's not the most ideal situation. The Dodgers have a few guys that are close to contention, but not really. Like, Will Smith is fourth place, but he's almost 400,000 votes behind Buster Posey. And then there is Gavin Lux in third place. He's not too far back from Ozzie Albies and Adam Frazier, but still needs some help there. Corey Seager's in third place as well, but he's way behind Fernando Tatis Jr. Max Muncy's has a comfortable lead, so we'll see what happens there. And then Justin Turner's in third, but really far behind from Chris Bryant. And then on the outfield side, where Chris Taylor would be, he's currently in sixth place, which is not bad. Mookie Betts is in fourth place, but they would need some work there. But when thinking about Chris Taylor, you know, I don't think of him necessarily as an all-star starter. The outfielders in the National League are pretty stacked. So the fact that he's sixth place is already a good start for him. And as we talked about last time, he'll probably get in as a reserve. Right, Jeff?
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, almost, I feel bad saying this out loud, but I'm almost not motivated to vote. Votivated. I like that. I'm not votivated because he's going to be in as a reserve. I don't think he has much chance to be voted as one of the starters. I don't even know that I think he deserves to, since he is on the ballot as an outfielder. If there was a utility player position on the ballot, I'd be voting for him many times a day because he deserves that start. Since I believe he's going to make it as a reserve anyway, and I almost feel like there's more prestige or more honor in being named as a reserve, because those are the guys who make it because of how good they are, rather than the name recognition or the popularity or whatever. The All-Star Game starting lineup is a popularity contest, and so I'm not surprised that Chris Taylor, the epitome of white bread, generic baseball player, is more appreciated by the people who watch him every day than the rest of baseball fans. But since he's going to make it anyway, and he will make it because he deserves to be on the team and not because he's popular, I just can't get that motivated.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not one to vote for the Dodgers, sorry to say that in that case. But except for with Chris Taylor, I don't think he's worthy of being a starter. He's not better than – he doesn't have better numbers or better overall than Acuna, Winker, and Castellanos, who are up there ahead of him. You know, he's been better than Mookie Betts so far this season. So, yeah, in terms of being a starter, probably not going to happen, but we'll just go back. You know, Chris Taylor's been probably one of the more consistent bats for the Dodgers, if not the most consistent bat for the Dodgers throughout the whole season. I mean, you just go back his last 30 games, he's hitting .273 with a slugging of .475, OBP of .360. You go back last 15 games, it's .280, .351, .520. You go back last 7 games, .273, .346, .545. I mean, if that's not consistency, I don't know what is. He has been slugging a little bit better in recent times, has cut down his strikeouts a little bit. So in terms of him, you know, being worthy of being on the All-Star team, he's definitely worthy of being on the All-Star team. And like I said, he got looped in with the outfielders because, you know, Gavin Lux had second base and Corey Seager had shortstop. He might have a better chance if second base was the place that he was placed at, but he just hasn't played as many games there, which leans into the conversation we alluded to earlier. With the Dodgers, with Max Muncy out, with Corey Seager out, and then with Cody Bellinger out, who Dave Roberts said he might be in the lineup Wednesday, but it might be a case of him going on the IL if he doesn't feel right. So we'll have to continue to monitor there. But in terms of the best defensive and offensive output the Dodgers can get, Zach McKinstry in the outfield with Chris Taylor taking up second base probably seems like not the best move in terms of getting the best defense out there.
Yeah, it seems like maybe they based it on they think Mookie is the best center fielder available, so they based everything else off of that. I think Chris Taylor is probably pretty close to equal in center field when it comes to Mookie, and definitely equal enough. I just think second base defense is the least important of those three, and so that's where you put the McKinstry, who's not an elite defender. He's a solid defender, can play a lot of positions. And, you know, McKinstry takes a lot of pride in filling the role that Kike left. But, you know, he's not as good defensively. He might be better offensively. It's tough to tell lately, but he's not as good defensively as Kike. He's a guy who can play a lot of places, but isn't going to light things up anywhere. So, yeah, I'd say McKinstry at second, where defense is the least important of those three.
Yeah, definitely. So we'll see where they continue to have it. McKinstry, it's not that he's bad in the outfield. He just doesn't look as comfortable in the outfield. And as you talked about earlier, the ball that was hit in the first inning probably would have been caught by Mookie. There's been a couple other ones that he's been a little shaky on. Not quite Luke Rayleigh shaky, but just shaky enough to make you think, hey, maybe put him in the infield, get Taylor out there. And like I said, I think in terms of, you know, I'm not sure if Mookie's a guy that he won't ever say, oh, yeah, I'd prefer to play right field. But I'm sure he's more comfortable out there in right field. And Chris Taylor is probably comparable, if not better, in center field just because he's played that a lot more and has a little bit different range and skill set in terms of being a center fielder. So hopefully Cody Bellinger just comes back and then we'll have the problem of having too many infielders for not enough spots or whatever the case is. But if not, then yeah, let's get a strong outfield defense and let McKinstry roam around in the infield.
All right, Vince, I have a question for you. Going back to the All-Star talk, I'm looking on Baseball Reference. Obviously, Baseball Reference and Fangraphs have different computations of WAR. I'm just looking at Baseball Reference right now. But in the National League, who do you think the top three outfielders in WAR are so far this season, according to Baseball Reference? And I'll give you a hint. Only one of them is in the top three in the All-Star voting right now.
I'm assuming Acuna is that guy.
Nope. Acuna is fourth among outfielders.
Winker's that guy?
Winker is not.
Castellanos. Yeah, he must be hitting ridiculous then.
Yeah, he is the top WAR haver among outfielders in the National League right now with 2.8. And then there's one at 2.6 and one at 2.3. Acuna's at 2.2.
Oof.
I'll give you a hint. One of them, we've said his name several times in this episode.
Mookie Betts.
And it's going to blow your mind. Mookie Betts has the second highest WAR among outfielders in the National League right now at 2.6.
Yeah. And for sake of the episode, I'm either going to need a hint for the other one or...
The other guy looks really good without a shirt on and made us mad last week. Made Mookie Betts mad last week.
Made Mookie Betts mad last week.
Tyler O'Neill.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Yeah. The outfield, I mean, you look at first base, too, is pretty bad. So the NL is not as strong this year in terms of, like, big names like that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's interesting. And, yeah, we've talked about Mookie Betts, how he's had maybe less than a serviceable season, if you considered last year serviceable. But he's been good enough. His, you know, weighted runs created plus has been talked about a lot, how it's been up there. And then now the WAR, he's up there. So he's still being a good player, but I just think we hold him to a higher standard. And he's probably been a little bit below that standard. So
yeah, absolutely.
All right, yeah. So we'll come back. We're going to talk a little bit about Clayton Kershaw real quick and clean up some other things regarding the Dodgers. So make sure to keep it locked on Dodgers. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Let's look at the Dodgers. The Dodgers, I feel like they're always 1.5 run favorites. That's probably because they always are the favorites going into almost every game. You got Julio and Zach Eflin. They are at +111 with the 2 runs. So honestly, I might take that. You could double up your money pretty easily if the Dodgers win by 2. If you take them just straight up to win, they're -175. So you're not going to quite double up your money. So if you want to do all that, you can go to BetOnline. If you want to find more odds and info for all your sporting needs, not just MLB, but all the other leagues and any other sports, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device and check out everything they got. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore, as this is your chance to get into the game. And right now, you can get a 50% welcome bonus after your first deposit at BetOnline with the promo code LOCKEDON. That's promo code LOCKEDON at BetOnline for a 50% welcome bonus. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. RockAuto.com is a family business that's been serving customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for all your auto and auto body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. It's better than heading to a store because stores can't always stock every single piece or part that you may need. Stores may charge you more than they would if you're not a mechanic. And stores, you know, you just generally have to deal with people. And if you don't have to deal with people and you know what you want, you can go to rockauto.com and get that thing shipped and delivered directly to your door in a matter of a few days. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. The rockauto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. And if you're on rockauto.com and they ask, how did you hear about us? Let them know that Locked On sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com. All right, Jeff. So when we have our weekend recap episodes, occasionally things fall through the cracks that maybe were more important in that moment or maybe not as important in the grand scheme of things. One of those things that fell through the cracks was Clayton Kershaw, who struck out 4 in 1 inning in his start over the weekend. And I believe you have a little more insider stats into that.
Yeah, it was only the 8th time that a Dodger has done that. 9 if you count some dude for the Brooklyn Superbas back 1,000 years ago. But yeah, the 8th time that a Dodger has struck out 4 in an inning. And, you know, they talked about it on the broadcast that it was interesting that it was the first time Kershaw had. But yeah, so Pete Richard in 1962, Don Drysdale in 65, and then Darren Dreyfuhrt in 2003, Brad Penny in 2006, Zach Greinke in 2014, Kenley Jansen in 2015, and Sergio Santos in 2015, back-to-back days. They mentioned that on the broadcast. And then it hadn't happened since then for the Dodgers, since 2015, before Kershaw did it. And the fourth strikeout of the inning was another one that was in the dirt, and I thought that Will Smith should let that go to the backstop and give Kershaw a chance at 5 strikeouts an inning, which no one has ever done.
And would have got the people halfway to Jumbo Jacks in 1 inning. So I'm sure Joe Nora would have loved that. But yeah, 4 strikeout innings, always, I guess, bittersweet in a sense because he didn't get, you know, you got 3 outs, but one of them you didn't fully get the out. And yeah, I guess real quick, we've never talked about this, and I don't know if they're, I'm not really sure. I'm assuming I know what side you're on. But drop their strikes, some people don't like that rule. What do you think about that rule, Jeff?
I have no problem with it. I understand why people don't like it. But the thing that I keep coming back to is every rule in every sport is arbitrary. And that's the argument people always make. It's such an arbitrary rule. Why would the strikeout not count just because the catcher didn't catch it? Well, why would a ball that bounces over the fence, why would you stop at second base? Like, every rule in sports is arbitrary. You just make crap up. That's how you invent a sport. And so I have no problem with this, you know. Yeah, make the catcher catch the ball. And, you know, I think it's fun. I almost, like, every once in a while you'll see a guy who, like, he probably didn't, but you think, did he just realize that that pitch was going to go to the backstop? So he swung, thinking he liked his chances of getting to first base that way better than actually hitting this guy. You know, if you're facing Aroldis Chapman, you know, and he throws a pitch and you can see it's going to be in the dirt and you have 2 strikes on you, maybe you swing and hope it gets past the catcher and think that's your best chance of getting on base, you know? I don't think it ever happens, but I liked the possibility.
Yeah, I've never understood the people that don't like the rule based on the fact that, oh, like, you got him out. If you induce a pop-up or a ground ball, you technically got that guy out. If someone makes an error, that's why it's called an error. Like, it happens, and why shouldn't a catcher be able to make an error? You know, sometimes that's just the way it goes.
Yeah, and I guess the thinking is the pitch was so good that, you know, the hitter couldn't hit it and the catcher couldn't catch it. But, you know, that's really just bad hitting more than anything. And yeah, so I guess you don't want to reward bad hitting, but no, I think it's a fun quirk, and I think baseball would be more boring if not for that rule.
Yeah, definitely. All right, one thing that we've talked about before, but now there's some quotes around it, is Albert Pujols and how he's been for the Dodgers since he got here. You know, we mentioned Dino Ebel had said that he's looked the happiest he's looked in a while, and Dino Ebel was with the Angels before the Dodgers, so he'd have some insight into that. Molly Knight wrote an article on The Athletic with some quotes from Kershaw and Mookie Betts. I'll read one from Kershaw. He said, quote, "When you bring in a guy of his caliber, it makes everyone else on the team want to do better. I think it raises the expectations everyone puts on themselves. Everybody can see he's swinging the bat great, but there's stuff he does behind the scenes that's so important. We have some Spanish-speaking guys who were a little bit quiet before he got here, and he's gotten them out of their shell. That's been huge." Mookie Betts added, "He's like a joy, that bright spot that came in. He's toward the end of his career, and I just look at someone who's been through 20 years of playing, and you just kind of look at how much he enjoys just being here. I want that joy for my whole career, not just the tail end of it. That's kind of what he brought, a lot of smiles, loosened things up." And now this is stuff, you know, we can see in the dugout how happy he is. He's joining in on all the team celebrations with the hand signals and everything else, and he's honestly been pretty good. His numbers against lefties are even better than he was when he was with the Angels. He's probably gotten a lot more starts than they expected early on just because of injuries, but he's filled in capably And yeah, I mean, just I guess heap a little bit more praise on Albert Pujols. We talked about that. You had talked about that veteran presence that they may need, a David Freese, Chase Utley type. Chase Utley, who happened to be at the game yesterday for Dodgers versus Phillies, of course. But it seems to be that Pujols is that guy. And the Dodgers, I believe Bill Shaken had a tweet, the Dodgers have been good either way, but they've been better when Albert Pujols has been on the team. Whether that's probably more of a coincidence than anything, but it's also something you can't rule out completely.
Yeah, you know, like you said, you and I talked about that veteran leadership is a big deal, and obviously it's not as important as on the field, so I wouldn't want you to bring in a guy who can't play baseball just to get that veteran leadership. That's what coaches are for. But, you know, Pujols is able to fill a role. Dave Roberts did say that Pujols will be starting today, even though it's a right-hander, Zach Eflin on the mound for the Phillies. I guess that makes sense. The Phillies are starting three right-handers in a row, and if you do want to get Pujols a start, it makes sense to be against Eflin instead of Zach Wheeler. But yeah, you know, he has filled the role he needed to fill. That role was a little bit bigger than we thought it would be, like you said, and he looks like he's having a good time. And, you know, that everything about Albert Pujols being a Dodger just feels right. And I'm starting the campaign right now. Pujols Dodger hat on his Hall of Fame plaque. Write it down. It's going to happen.
I mean, who can deny that? I know we got a question. I don't think we addressed it, of Pujols coming back for next season. I know we got one of those questions on Instagram last week, the ones I forgot. I don't think that's really on the table right now. And, you know, we're just kind of playing out the rest of this season before they'd get into any talks about that. But, yeah, like you said, he's having a great time. He's added offense. He's done things that we probably didn't expect. And then, like I said, just the whole clubhouse culture, you know, him getting guys who maybe normally don't talk to come out of their shell, like Kershaw said, and just all the, you know, any player can go up and ask Pujols a question, whether no matter what position they play, no matter where they're out in their career, and he'll probably have some advice or something for them. To play 20 years in the MLB, even though he doesn't look like he can run right now, to play 20 years, that longevity is just, you know, something else, whether it's guys asking him workout routines and stuff like that. And there's just so many benefits to having him. And then the offense on top is just a plus. So it's been a joy to see him be this happy and be playing the way he has. And I'm curious, I'm assuming it's going to happen, but we need to make sure the Dodgers give him a bobblehead, because he's probably just going to be here this season.
Yeah, you know, when you do talk about next season, it's important to remember, I think if Pujols wants to play next year, I wouldn't be shocked if it is with the Dodgers. I think they could find a similar role for him. The big question is, will Pujols want to? Because one thing we have to remember, the reason he's so valuable to the Dodgers right now is because they're hardly paying him anything. And the reason Pujols, part of the reason he can still have a lot of fun, is the Angels are still sending him a check for $5 million every month. And that won't be the case next year. If Pujols wants to come back for the league minimum next year, I wouldn't be surprised at all if the Dodgers are interested in having him back in that role. You know, we thought Chase Utley was a short-term rental. He ended up being around for three or four seasons, you know, and so I don't think Pujols will be around for three or four seasons, but I could see him back next year if he wanted to play for the league minimum. It's hard to picture him playing for the league minimum. He's playing for the Dodgers for the league minimum because the Angels are still paying him.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point. And also the other fact is the Dodgers don't necessarily have anyone in the pipeline in that same mold. They'll get Edwin Rios back and then Matt Beatty, but they don't really have another like first baseman type or at least a lefty masher type that's coming up that would be ready for next season that plays the same role or similar role. So that's also another point in his favor. But we'll get through this season and then we'll see what happens with the Pujols.
And there will be a DH next year.
Yeah, true. That's also very true. So assuming there's a season, as we know that it's probably going to be contentious coming up. But we won't worry about that right now. We'll worry about that later. Jeff, is there anything else you have before we head out?
Yeah, just from our corrections and clarifications department. Mookie Betts is still second, according to Baseball Reference War. But Tyler O'Neill gets bumped down to fourth because I forgot that Brian Reynolds is an outfielder, because Brian Reynolds is still the same person as Adam Frazier and Kevin Newman, who are both infielders, but Brian Reynolds happens to be an outfielder. He also has 2.6 WAR on Baseball Reference, so he is tied with Betts, which bumps Acuna down to fifth. And clarification-wise, on FanGraphs, the top three vote getters are the top three war havers also. Castellanos at 3.4, Acuna at 3.1, and Winker at 2.7, followed by Chris Bryant, Brian Reynolds, Chris Taylor, and Mookie Betts. So Betts is seventh on FanGraphs, which I still think is higher than a lot of people might guess based on how Mookie has played for a lot of this season.
All right, that'll do it for today's episode. Thank you all for listening. Make sure to subscribe or follow wherever you get your podcast. Make sure to tell your friends and family to subscribe or follow wherever they get their podcast. We actually were number two for the second straight week. The White Sox, who are playing very well, who are one of the best teams in baseball, and they haven't been that in a while. So I can understand the excitement on their side. Hey, but the Dodgers are about to be in first place probably by next week, and then, you know, just kind of stay that way the rest of the season, hopefully. So make sure to post about us, tweet about us, anything you can, spread the word of mouth. All that's helpful. Retweet our stuff. Anything that you think can help us out, we greatly appreciate it. We are here every Monday through Friday for you. If you're not already listening every Monday through Friday, try to bump up that number at least by one. Or if not, why not just listen every Monday through Friday? It's just about 20 to 30 minutes, depending how fast you listen to your podcast. You can even get it down to 15 sometimes. So make sure to help us out and listen and tell your other people to listen. If you want to follow us on social media, we are on Twitter and Instagram at Locked On Dodgers. Jeff is on Twitter at Snydog. I'm at Vince Samperio. The DMs are open on all those accounts. You can also reach out to us via email at lockedondodgers@gmail.com or phone for text voicemail at 323-863-5625. We're here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be with us when you get in your car or if you're at home. Tell your smart device to play a podcast, Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree. You just have to listen. Have a good one.
Happy reopening day. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Today on the Locked On Today podcast, the Nets are down to one star. Can Kevin Durant carry them past the Bucks? Get more of the sports news you need in less time with the Locked On Today podcast. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts.
D. I say D-O. D-O-D-G-E-R-S. The team that's all heart, all heart and all thumbs, they're my Los Angeles. Your Los Angeles. Our Los Angeles. Do you think we'll really win the pennant? Bye!